Hello and welcome to Astrology and Feng Shui of the Holistic Spaces podcast with Angie Cho, episode number 3. May 2017, Jupiter retrograde, Saturn retrograde, full flower moon in Scorpio. I'm Angie Cho and I'm so excited to introduce the third episode of our mini-series called Astrology and Feng Shui. Each month, we'll have this mini-series as a bonus to the Holistic Spaces podcast. We'll look at astrology and feng shui together at the beginning of each month with an astrologer. A lot of my friends and colleagues are experts in Western and Eastern astrologies, and I thought not only would it be fun, but super fascinating to tie in astrology with feng shui. This is our third episode, and we're going to be joined by my good friend, Diana Mejicas, who joined us for the first episode. Diana is a traditional Western astrologer. She's a certified feng shui master and intuitive counselor with over 25 years of hands-on experience based in New York City. You can find out more about her on our website at www.holisticspaces.com/podcast. And without further ado, here's my talk with Diana. Hi, Diana. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Hi, Angie. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to hear about what the stars have in store for us in May. So do you want to just jump right into it?
Sure. I'll just jump right into it. So there are a number of retrogrades in May. Through the entire month of May of 2017, Jupiter is retrograde. And so Jupiter represents expansion, growth, travel, and spiritual evolution. Jupiter is retrograde approximately every 13 months, so about once a year. And retrogrades usually mean challenging circumstances through which all of us have to navigate either personally or universally. But in this case, we're experiencing something a little different. The current Jupiter retrograde is very promising for advancements in personal growth, happiness, and opportunities through travel, education, work, and career. And this runs through mid-June. Now, this is due to Jupiter's positive relationship with other planets and fixed stars during this special cycle. So Jupiter then becomes grounded through these concurrent astrological configurations, and good fortune is possible in relationship to travel, education, and spiritual expansion. But the most important thing is not to think that this good fortune will come without some effort on our part, because Jupiter can make us lazy and expect things to come easily. But this retrograde does require some effort in the areas of introspection and action through inner spiritual growth, and that is going to prepare us for the material success that is possible after the direct motion. So finding inner happiness is the key through spiritual techniques such as meditation, yoga, and classes, which heal triggers that have been holding you back. So it's a really exciting opportunity for all of us.
Wow. You know, the first thing I thought of when you were talking about this Jupiter retrograde this month is the Gun area of the Feng Shui Bagua map, which governs self-knowledge and spiritual cultivation, which for the listeners on our Bagua map on the podcast website, it's holisticspaces.com/podcast. On the sidebar on the right, there's a Bagua map. That's a feng shui map. And that would be the dark blue area on the bottom left corner. So that's an area that sounds like you're talking about in terms of what's happening in the retrograde, where it governs spirituality and self-cultivation and that sort of growth. Mm-hmm. So would that be a good area to activate?
Absolutely. There's no question. Jupiter's opportunities really do allow us to go into our spiritual self-knowledge, mm-hmm. and become just more whole. That's an opportunity to really prepare, you know, for deep introspection. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be a wonderful quad to activate.
And then you were telling me earlier that you had other thoughts about what Jupiter relates to.
Well, Jupiter relates also to abundance. Mm-hmm. So because in effect, spiritual abundance and material abundance go hand in hand, you know,
Yeah,
so many,
they do.
Yeah. So in that way, you know, the gua that represents abundance and wealth could also be activated through an adjustment to kind of trigger and activate abundance in other areas of life, because yeah it would be
maybe even
very
both.
Important.
Maybe they work on both, right?
Both would be key. Both would be key just to optimize, because Jupiter is such a positive and benefic planet. You know, it's all about giving good.
Yeah, and I think when you've done my chart, you told me I have my work in Jupiter, so maybe it's something.
Oh, I think you have Jupiter in the 10th house.
Yeah, so maybe I need to pay attention in May.
Yeah, you should definitely pay attention to the things that are working and not working, and to really look at how you feel about your work.
Yeah.
And whether you're satisfied, and those things will come up during this Jupiter retrograde. So it's about, you know, reassessing how we operate in those areas.
And for the listeners, you know, this is something that Diana does. Like, she will look at your personal chart and then relate. Well, first of all, look at your personal chart, but then also give you ways to work with it with feng shui, which I think is amazing. I think a lot of astrologers tell you what's coming up, but then they don't give you a way to work with it. And Diana gives you a way to work with it. So it's really a gift that she can offer.
Also, for your listeners, for those people who know their astrology chart, like yourself, Jupiter is transiting in Libra. So that house in an individual's chart that is ruled by Libra, the Jupiter retrograding through that house in Libra would actually be a further indicator of the area that Jupiter will have the strongest effect during this time. So that's just an aside if people have their charts available to them.
Okay, thank you. So let's move on to the next thing that's happening in May.
Okay, so Saturn. Okay, Saturn is a pretty serious planet. It is also retrograde through May of 2017, the entire month. And Saturn represents karma. So in other words, lessons learned, hard work, responsibility, and our limitations as we experience them on this planet. So to that effect, when Saturn is retrograde, it's kind of like a double dose of karma. So what we have reaped in the past, we will see kind of manifest now, whether negative or positive. Lessons are learned, and sometimes, you know, feelings of sadness and loss come up during this kind of retrograde. I mean, Saturn only retrogrades again, like Jupiter, once a year, so it's not often. But when it does, it definitely packs a punch as far as having to reassess things as they appear, as we have created them. So the best thing to do during this phase is to learn from these feelings and thoughts that are coming up, and to look at areas of your life that might be holding you back. So whether it's emotional, practical, psychological, and the best course of action is to implement practical ways to move forward after Saturn turns direct. And Saturn, it's a long retrograde. It does not turn direct until the end of the summer. So we have plenty of time to do the work. And so after the work is done, and you've looked inward and you've kind of reassessed all of these different areas of your life, the potential is really high to heal and move towards a more optimistic future, because Saturn is also the planet of sadness and depression. So we hope to, you know, use this time to look at life in a way that analyzes the things that haven't been working. So, and, you know, ultimately it's, you know, a goal is, you know, to have a clearer sense of our boundaries and our commitments, so we don't overreach and we don't commit to things we, you know, we don't have the ability to follow through on. And in the end, just have more stability in our relationships, both at work and in our personal relationships, is really the goal. Yeah, it's strong. This retrograde is a strong one in Saturn.
And what are your thoughts in terms of feng shui applications to work with this?
Well, I think sometimes Saturn can affect our health. And so any adjustments that would support our psychological well-being are usually very useful, because the mental state sometimes is, for example, like the fragrant flower method, like anything that would bring in beauty into the home and and also cultivate opportunity.
Yeah. For the listeners, the fragrant flower method is something that you can only get when you work with a practitioner. But
exactly. Yeah.
But, with a BTB practitioner. But yeah, that sounds like a good one. I think one thing that popped into my head was one good deed a day, which I have on my website. So we'll link to it.
Oh, great.
Where, you know, you do one good deed a day for like 27 days, but that really, when you put out good chi in the world, it comes back, which I think directly relates to karma. So that's one thing that I thought of.
Absolutely. That's a very simple way. And we should live that way all the time. But of course, during a Saturn retrograde, it would definitely help to pacify the Lord of Karma. So we continue to, you know, reach out and generate good karma.
Okay. And also if you work with a feng shui consultant like Diana or myself, there's more health adjustments they can give. There really aren't too many general ones that we can give. I guess you could activate the health area, which is the center of the Bagua map, but that's really just general health. Yeah, let's move on to the final point, astrological thing you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, so there is a full moon every month. This one is taking place on May 10th, 2017, and it is in the sign of Scorpio, but it is also known as the full flower moon. And it's got the name full flower moon because May is typically the month that you begin to sow crops. It's when, you know, April and May, but May, everything is growing.
Yeah, April showers, and we can spring, May flowers,
right? But May is also the month of lust and passion. So it's also known as the hair moon, H-A-R-E.
Rabbit.
Yeah, like you know, reproduction. But just to tell your listeners a little about how the full moon operates, I'm sure most people kind of have a general idea. But during a full moon, the lunar qualities of emotion and inner knowing, or what we call our instincts, reach their peak. So it's really great to use the intuition that we're given and our increased like emotional strength, because it really affects the emotions, to overcome any challenges. So subconscious awareness therefore allows for an objective and balanced look at relationships, and it's just an opportunity to kind of reach into and access our emotional acute intuitive ability. But because Scorpio is such an intense sign and really leaves no stone unturned, it's really piercing in nature, this full moon in Scorpio is even more transformative, and emotions and instincts reach their peak at, you know, a very high level. So people may find themselves very emotional, asking really serious questions. So the psychological probing and transformative nature of Scorpio and the ruler Pluto give us all the capacity for subconscious awareness. And so it's a really good time to kind of look at things with a really clear eye.
I see. And that's all month or just on the full moon?
It's only on the full moon. It's usually a few days before and a few days after. And, you know, it definitely can promote some intense and deep experiences. And, you know, clearing away clutter in our minds and in our environments is really what the takeaway is.
So that's the feng shui tip.
Exactly. So because we're looking so deeply into things, it makes sense ideas pop up that some things may not be necessary, or we want to change, you know, the way we approach certain things. So it's definitely a time to declutter the emotional mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which can, so, and then in feng shui is all about not just your physical environment, but your internal environment too. So when you clear the clutter in, around you, right, you're also clearing the clutter in your mind. So they're totally linked. And this is what, you know, this is what, fascinates us about feng shui. What Diana and I love about feng shui, it's not just about your moving furniture around or your environment. It's really goes deeper than that. So, I also thought maybe clearing the clutter in the relationship area could help, because you were talking about, relationships. Well, there's a connection to relationships with this full moon, right?
Yes, very, very much so. So it has, well, because our emotional nature is so tied into our personal, even our professional relationships, I mean, how we feel and how we deal with others. So yeah, I mean, and also the Scorpio house in someone's chart, that moon where it falls in your chart, would be where the, what issues are most intensely, focused. But in a general sense, it's the emotional life of people on this planet in general during a full moon. Mm-hmm. But because it's in Scorpio and it's ruled by Pluto, it's much more piercing. So yes, any decluttering that's done in the house, would have a greater effect on the emotional stability of a person
during this full moon. You know what, also, because you're talking about this piercing quality of the Scorpio full moon, that reminds me of the metal element too.
Right.
And maybe what balances, well, actually, wood kind of softens metal, right? Because it dulls it. So maybe bringing more wood, like green plants into the home, can kind of soften that piercing quality.
That's a great idea.
And having more kindness, the way you approach people.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a hard aspect to Scorpio communication. Mm. So yeah, to be mindful.
I'm guilty of that, right? I'm a spuddle.
Very direct. It's important to be direct.
I have a question. I have a quick question, Diana. So like what, in, you said in, but getting back to the clutter though, you said just any clutter clearing in general would really help at it during this full moon. But is there a particular area of your home like that relates to the Bagua map or relates to something that you think would be particularly helpful?
I think you were really correct. You were correct in saying that the relationship
area. Okay.
Area and Kun, and I would say also general career, because the emotional kind of knowing and understanding sometimes really does spill into the workplace as far as relationships that may or may not be working. Mm-hmm. So it's not solely relegated to personal. You know, it can actually also affects all relationships, really. So, you know, whatever, in whatever sphere, since, you know, there's the career area that is really important to so many people, might be a good gua to activate.
Yeah. And for the listeners on the Bagua map, it's called Path in Life. And that's a black area that's on the bottom center square.
Yeah. So there's definitely, oh, and the colors associated with this full moon are red, orange, and yellow.
And what does that mean in terms of, like, is it better to wear those colors or those, what does that mean?
Yes, it definitely is a good thing to wear those colors during that time. There's also a significator based on, you know, the colors in the spring of the flowers. Most of these full moons, the names came during either a Native American time or a pagan time, when they would name these moons based on their agriculture or the seasons. But yeah, I mean, the colors are mostly, you know, directed toward either what you're wearing or having, let's say, the flowers of those colors in your home to kind of enhance the positive influence of the Scorpio moon. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a fire moon, even though it's in a water sign. It's just this moon in May is associated with, you know, growth.
Okay.
And so fire is associated with that. So, yeah, these are all more, you know, these are all associations that are based on culture.
Okay.
And they've just been handed down. Yeah. But
well,
May is really a month to do a lot of inner work, as we can see, don't you think?
Yeah, it sounds like it. So it sounds like a lot. I think circling back to the Jupiter retrograde activating Gun and maybe a Gun and abundance, because abundance is much more than just money. It's about self-worth and spiritual
exactly,
abundance,
right.
Like you connected it to, Diana. So I think that's what the focus is this month, huh?
I'm sorry?
I guess that's what the focus is this month, on spiritual.
Yes,
on like,
very much
yeah.
so.
Okay.
Very much so. May is a good month for that.
Well, thank
but
you.
We have to work.
Okay. Yeah, we have to work. Well, thank you so much for your knowledge and expertise and for sharing it with us and sharing with us your unique perspective on connecting feng shui and astrology. And I really look forward to next time.
Yes, we'll have a few more topics to cover, and I really appreciate you're inviting me on, and you're always a joy to speak with, and your perspective is really valuable, and I'm really glad that you're doing these podcasts. It's really, really exciting.
Me too. And the listeners should let us know if they like it.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Take
care. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Astrology and Feng Shui of the Holistic Spaces podcast with Angie Cho, episode number 3. Please check in on our website, holisticspaces.com/podcast, for our next episode in June of 2017, which we're going to talk to Beth Grace again. So we'll see you next month.